My scripture for my short message tonight is from the Gospel of John, the 13th chapter, some selected verses there, and it is the same scripture every Maundy Thursday. It is the chapter from which we get the commandment, and Maundy is just a sort of an English version of the Latin word for commandment. The new commandment that Jesus gave his disciples and gave all of his followers, including you and me, a new commandment that we prove to the world we are his disciples because we love one another as he has loved us. He gave us a commandment and he gave us an example of the kind of love he was speaking of. Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You don't understand now what I'm doing, but someday you will." "No," Peter protested, "you will never, ever wash my feet." Jesus replied, "Unless I wash you, you won't belong to me." Simon Peter exclaimed, Then wash my hands and my head as well, Lord, not just my feet." Verse 12, after washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that's what I am. And since I, your teacher and Lord, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you." Verse 34. "So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." And I'll end there. It is a solemn night, and we're used to solemnity during the time of Lent, but I have been here long enough that I hope you'll let me get by with a tiny attempt at humor as we get to bigger points. An elderly woman with a mind of her own, I started to say such as some of our members fill in the blank, but I won't do that. An elderly woman with a mind of her own returned home from the hospital after some minor surgery, and her doctor instructed her to take things easy for a while, and above all, not to go up and down the stairs until he saw her again. Well, 1 week later, the doctor examined her, evaluated her healing process, and told her, "Okay, you can use the stairs again." And she replied, "Thank goodness, I was getting tired of climbing up and down that drainpipe." That woman is a lot like some church people. We misunderstand what Jesus says, or we do understand, and we go looking for loopholes. Tonight's reading from John 13 is painfully clear. I give you a new commandment. You must love one another just as I have loved you. You also must love one another. And by this love, everyone will know that you are my disciples. Now that's pretty clear. But often we go looking for the nearest drain pipe, so to speak. There's a prayer that goes like this: "Lord, the bumper sticker says, smile if you love Jesus. So I smiled all day long, and people thought I was a little peculiar. And the bumper sticker said, honk if you love Jesus. So I honked, and the policeman said I was disturbing the peace. The bumper sticker said, wave if you love Jesus, and I waved with both hands, lost control of the car, and hit a telephone pole. Oh God, if I cannot smile or honk or even wave, how will Jesus know that I love him?" And in a still small voice, God answers, "O child of God, mere smiling or honking or waving is too easy. If you really want to love Jesus, you must love one another. And so prove to be his disciple. Psychologist Eric Fromm names loving relationships as the necessary ingredient of a fulfilled life. But he notes that in our everyday living, we often treat love or a loving relationship as a luxury that we'll get around to if we have time, but it's something we can do without. The gospel truth is, in reality, we cannot. We either love or die, says Fromm. And in terms of the good life, the fulfilled life, there's only one way to live and 1,000 ways to die. Jesus boiled that down to love God with your whole heart, love your neighbor as you love yourself. You put those things first, you do well. It's easy to list our proper religious beliefs. It is easy to say, as we do on Sundays, the Apostles' Creed. But after saying it, isn't there a life that flows out of what we believe? Remember what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13. We often hear these things at these verses at weddings. If I could speak all the languages of the earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I had the gift of prophecy, a big gift. And if I understood all of God's secret plans, big understanding. And if I possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, that's huge faith, but didn't love others, Paul says, I would be nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. And it doesn't rejoice in wrongdoing. It rejoices in the truth. Did you hear those instructions, those descriptions of what love looks like? Do we look like that? Remember, it is by our love that other people will know that we are Jesus' disciples. And Jesus wanted his disciples to get out of their heads and out of just the teaching and the arguing and the parables and get down and dirty. And you heard what he did in chapter 13. He got up from the table. He took off his robe. He wrapped a towel around himself. He filled a basin with water. And he knelt down in front of his disciples and began to wash their feet and to dry their feet with the very towel he was wearing as clothing. This was a low-down servant's job, washing the dirty feet of guests. Peter was indignant, and he said, "No, such a king should not wash my feet as a servant." But when we look at the cross, as we do, preparing to celebrate Easter, we realize that he did serve us, even there on the cross, in an ultimate way. Jesus gave a command and an illustration of agape love, the Greek word agape, meaning not counting the cost, not expecting anything in return. And it should not be a secret to the world that we're capable of that love. It is what makes Christians a Christian. Not the uncontrollable and all-consuming impulse of using others, as love is often used in our culture, but serving and kneeling and washing and giving of ourselves. And he has a right to command us to love because he loved us first. A complete self-giving love that has no limits, a love that never quits. Jesus' love can forgive and receive even enemies. Jesus' love listens and heals and binds and makes whole and builds up and strengthens. And this is what Jesus commands us to do always in every situation and every choice we make. We can ask ourselves, am I doing the loving thing as Jesus commands? And there are times when we must pray, Lord, forgive us and empower us by your Holy Spirit to keep this command because we fall short. Often the honest answer is no, I am not doing and saying and serving as Jesus did and as Jesus commanded me to do. It's hard. And on our own, without God's Spirit, it is impossible. We find that love is dangerous when we do it Jesus' way. It is costly. It makes us stand out because it is so different from the way the rest of the world lives. Love done God's way will cost us. It will cost us giving our soul completely over to God. And when we give ourselves completely to God, God empowers us to live abundantly and to love beyond reason. Some of you have a right to ask, when is that going to happen? Well, the disciples were slow to get it, and they needed God's Spirit to do it, and so are we slow to get it, and so do we need God's Spirit to love and to serve as Jesus did. We are here to feed our faith as we worship. We are here to feed our faith as we pray and as we participate and share in communion, and to grow from faith to deeper faith, to more perfectly keep the commandment of loving one another as Christ has loved us.